Yes, yes, yes. Once again, back in the house. I am Teron Davenport, yours truly. Got my hitter on my right side, Nate Washington. What's good, my guy?
My brother, how you doing?
Hey, man. I woke up, so you know I won. But I'm on the show with you, so I won even more.
Definitely.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Great show today we got lined up. Look, man, the Titans are playing on Monday night, so it's only right we get Mr. Monday Night on. So we got Keith Bullock coming on in a little bit. All energy tonight, fellas and ladies. All energy. That's what we got to bring. And the reason why is because this Titans team has been elevated. You have the acquisition of none other than Jadeveon Clowney. I want to get right into it. What were your first thoughts when you found out that Clowney was coming to the Titans?
Ironically, I think we had just got done talking about the opportunity the day before on our last show. And yep. The first thing that popped in my mind was just the relativity that, you know, Clowney had towards, you know, Vrabel. As I stated, I believe that their relationship was something that was going to be impactful in the decision for Clowney to make sure that he came to the Titans. I believe that, you know, I also believe that the difference in the two defenses was going to be the final decision for him to say, you know, well, this was going to be the defense that I could be most impactful in. And as he stated, as Clowney himself stated, you know, calling Jonathan Joseph, hearing that this team is a young team willing to fly around, winning to play with hats on fire and making sure that they're doing everything that they can to help their team win was something that he was interested in. It's a stage of his career that he was ready for, is what he said. And I think that this is definitely going to boost him and give him a battery in his back to go out and do some things that he hasn't been able to do. You know, he's very impactful in the game, but I think that this year the stats will show. I believe that, you know, the scheme that Vrabel and our defensive coordinators can put him in will be one that can definitely make him Pro Bowl bound.
You hit the nail right on the head. As a matter of fact, I want to go ahead and let the listeners know. I had Ian go ahead and put together a little collage of quotes that Clowney had when he spoke to the media, and he said just that. Ian, let's get it here. Listen to what he said.
I think Mike Vrabel, one of the smartest coaches I think I ever had since I've been playing football. And he know football front to back, and he know how to pick guys into position to make plays, and that's what he did in Houston. When I got here, he started moving me around already, and he just put me in position to make plays. He believe I'm a playmaker, and he believe in my ability to make the plays. So he just keep lining me up all over the place, and I keep executing the calls and making plays for him. My athletic ability. I feel like I can match up with just about anybody. He feel like I can match up with anybody. And I'm a physical guy. He know I'm physical. And I can do just about anything that he asks me to do. And I try to just execute at the best of my ability. And it's been working out well for me and his system for the last 5 years in Houston. So I hope we come over here and try to do the same thing. Yeah, for sure. And plus, like I said, this is kind of a lot of carryover from what I learned in Houston the first 5 years. And coming over here, I knew it was going to be a lot easier than going back to Seattle. Well, I didn't know it was going to be a lot easier than going back to Seattle, but I knew if I come to a new system and a system with Mike Vrabel, I knew I can catch on very fast and wouldn't have to think a lot about how going to execute the calls because I have been in his system before. And then, like I said, me being his system and being in Seattle system, I made way more plays in his system than I did when I was in Seattle. Yeah, for sure. That role helped because when I got hurt in Houston, he was there for me. He trained me. He worked out with me. He got me back. He stayed on me, and he wanted me to get back healthy because he knew my potential. So he stayed on me the whole time that offseason. He was working out with me and training me. And I know I always felt like he was there for me, and he told me he was in my coaching. He taught me so much football when I was with him. I think I learned the most football I ever learned with the guy about sets and what type of runs that you see and everything. You know, when I got the opportunity to pick while I was going out, I knew it was going to play a big part in that, knowing him and knowing what I learned from here. So I knew I couldn't be wrong coming here.
Translation. Jadeveon Clowney felt he could hit the ground running in this Titans defense. And that's exactly what I expect him to do. So, Nate, I have to ask you your thoughts on how he can make other people better because I really think that he can help a guy like a Jeffrey Simmons on TE stunts. I think him coming on that outside, flushing the quarterback up into the pass rush that's collapsing the pocket will help. I think being opposite Harold Landry will help. So what's your take on how he could help others around him become better?
I think it all boils down to, as you said, you know, just his ability with his speed and agility and his intangibles with his length at that position is going to impact everybody. You know, I think Jeffrey Simmons is going to be very impactful in the interior of the line, and we've mentioned this here on the show. But at the same time, when you have a guy like Jadeveon Clowney that can beat the tackle around the edge, that but can also beat the center up the middle to force the pocket to flush, you know, whether it be left or right, that's going to impact everyone. I think he's, like you said, his intangibles to put the speed on the field with what we already have is going to be amazing. And not to see him in the same position. You know, I think that's one of the things that Vrabel will take advantage of with this team. We have the type of team that, you know, we can run a mix set with our defense and make sure that whenever these things are occurring with our defensive sets, that you'll never be able to pick up where he is. He'll be in a different position every single time, I'm sure. He'll be able to do some things with our set that other guys wouldn't be able to do. So here it is. He gives us an opportunity to open this defense up and play him in different positions that's going to impact the other guys to show that their strengths are definitely worthy of what we have going on in our defense.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I'm glad you mentioned the multiplicity, because that's something when Mike Vrabel came to the Titans – he said that that's exactly what he wanted, front multiplicity. So you have a guy who has the skill set to be used all over the front. Go back to 2017. We're talking about 9.5 sacks, 18 QB hits, 21 tackles for a loss. Those are all career highs. Bottom line, when you look at those numbers, that equals disruption. And in 17, it was like the queen piece on the chessboard. They used him all over the place. So this is going to be a great opportunity for Clowney to really, as we said, hit the ground running. But the other thing that you have to look at, this is going to help the secondary. And, Nate, I want you to get into that a little bit, how when you have a guy that could change the arm angles and the throwing lanes for the quarterback just by getting that pressure, how much does that help folks in the secondary?
One of the things that popped into my head when we talk about the pressure that Jadeveon is going to be able to put on the quarterback is the confidence that's going to instill in the back end as well. These are guys now that are going to be able to understand that there's going to have to be a shot clock, basically, that's going off of these quarterbacks. There's no longer going to be an opportunity for them to have a ton of time back there. So our defensive back should be expecting the ball to come out quick. Also, they won't have the responsibility of the duration of time to continue to hold or guard double moves and concepts that other teams would probably succeed with if we didn't have the pass rush that we have. Now that we have a guy that's going to impact the pass rush as Jadeveon Clowney is going to do, the defensive backs are going to understand that that ball has to come out quick, and it's going to actually, like you said, you know, the accuracy is going to change. The playmaking and the time is going to change. So they understand those things, and it's going to give them an opportunity to play with that, understanding that. Like I said before, we talked about in the low red zone, a lot of the times this gives the opportunity for these guys to do what's called squatting. And they'll sit on routes now. They'll understand that the ball is going to have to get out of the hand, and a receiver is not going to have the ability to go out and make two, three different moves. Now the ball is going to have to come out, and these guys are going to be able to squat and make plays on the ball that they haven't been able to make before.
And that's really how it's going to help everyone. That the shot clock concept is a great point. And I don't care who the quarterback is. You get hits on a quarterback like that, he's going to start having that shot clock himself, where he's going to know, hey, listen, this is a matter of time, so I'm going to get blasted. Let me get rid of this ball. And that actually factors in with the timing and the passing game. So it goes beyond just the sacks. And that's why I wanted to get into this, because, you know, I'll use the saying that my guy, my man Booger McFarland, always uses about stats. Stats are like bikinis. They show a lot, but not everything. So this this three-sack concept, you know, I get it. That's all he had last year, but you have to look at the bigger picture. And I will over and over and over again point people to that first game against the 49ers where he just destroyed that whole offensive line, destroyed the game plan, and that's what this Titans offense needed. Or defense, excuse me. So the next thing that we have to get into really quick before we go to the break is just, you know, what that's going to mean for a guy like Shane Bowen and being able to not have to blitz all the time, right? You could rush four and drop seven into coverage. How much does that help the overall defense?
I think that's one of the major things as well. I mean, when you look at the intricacies of the defense in the NFL, you know, there are a lot of offenses are getting so creative that now is the implement of how can we use these defenses in a way that can affect or impact these unique offenses that we're seeing. And I'm pretty sure that one of the top things that a defensive coordinator will tell you is being able to rush with a limited amount of guys and also impact the game, impact the passing game, impact the opposing quarterback the same way you would as rushing the guy with five or six defenders is going to be a great asset to have. To be able to rush another quarterback with just four, just three guys and create the same impact and still be able to cover on the back end with seven, eight guys is going to help our team definitely. When you're facing teams that have playmakers and a slew of receivers that can impact the game, this is definitely going to help us out. Now we can drop guys. Now we can push guys back that may not be expected. And when I say those type of things, it's like, you know, stunts like dropping a nose tackle. Although, you know, I don't know if those things will happen with our defense, but it gives you a plethora of things that you can accomplish in the defense when you're able to rush with a limited amount of guys, like three or four guys, and still impact the game like you're blitzing from five or six different guys.
Here's the deal. The Chiefs, you saw it last night. That's Big Daddy right now. So when you're able to do the things that you explained, dropping seven and clouding those passing lanes, that's how you go against a team like that. So this move is huge for the Titans. It's one that, you know, really puts that defense to the next level. And I'm looking forward to watching them on Monday night. So we're going to go ahead and go to a break. We'll be right back. We're going to get into another player that wears number 99. And stay tuned.
I got 99 problems, but a b- ain't one. Hit me. Yeah, it's 94, and my trunk is raw. And my rear view mirror is the motherfucking law.
Yeah. 99 problems. A pass rush ain't one. That's what the Titans can say now. But the Broncos, they're trying to say the same thing, right? Because they got another number 99 in Jarrell Casey. And, Nate, I have to ask you because – you've had to face, you know, a team that you've played before. What's going through your mind that week leading up to getting ready to go against a former team?
Oh, man, it's a plethora of things, man. You know, honestly, it all depends on the situation as well. But, you know, the first thing that pops in your head, to be honest with you, is, you know, these are brothers that you are playing against, you know, the upcoming week. These are guys that you put in a full term with. Whether, you know the full locker room or not, there's still going to be a ton of guys that, you know, you play with throughout the duration of your time that you're going to recognize, especially when you spend an amount of time with an organization as I did, as Jarrell has done. And, you know, you reflect on that time with those guys a lot, you know, leading up to that moment. But, you know, in the back of your head, in all honesty, you really want to go out and do your best to just crush them as well. You want to make sure you go out and do everything that you can to impact the game so that they remember you the proper way. Like, oh, I forgot how good this guy is or how much we needed this guy as well. You know, you want to make sure that at the end of the day, they will still respect what you are able to bring to the game. And there's only one way that's going to happen. If you go out and play your best, you give your all, you impact the game that Sunday like you or Monday in this case like you should, and make sure that they remember and the reason why you were out there doing what you were doing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And you look at some of the quotes. His teammate AJ Bouye says that Casey, he knows that Casey is going to take it personal. Clowney said, hey, listen, I got Clowney on the mind. You notice that?
Yeah.
But Casey says that he's going to talk to some of the offensive coaches about, you know, the things that he knows about the Titans defense. Is that something? I don't believe it is, but from your perspective, is that something that the Titans need to be concerned about?
Well, at the end of the day, this is all, it's always chess, not checkers. Anytime a guy leaves the organization, leaves the foundation of a team and understands that that team and same coaching staff is still in place, there's always going to be tidbits to share. And coaches realize that, and they make adjustments and are prepared for those type of things, I'm pretty sure. And when it comes to, you know, giving information about, you know, the offense or the defense that you were previously a part of, all of those things are understood. You know, these coaches realize that tons of detailed work coming to this game, especially, you know, with the situation, obviously, like we've talked about before with this COVID situation and everything that's been going on, no preseason games, you know, research is going to have to be done. There's going to have to be a lot of hours of film that goes into making sure that you understand what team you're facing, which coaching staff you're facing. Even, you know, I've been in situations where there was the same head coach, same offensive coordinator, and because they switched to defensive coordinator, now we have to make sure that we skim back through the film that we can possibly find with this guy as the head and understand how he's going to make his team play. These type of things change, you know, often. And I think, you know, it's always going to be answers and hints and secrets that you can give on an individual's assets, you know, whether a guy looked at me previously that I may have played with and he said, just, well, we know Nate's a speed guy. He's not going to do too much going over the middle. You know, he doesn't, you know, do any, you know, big major blocking like that. Those things are different. You know, I think you will be able to always assess a guy's game like that. But when it comes down to breaking down the strategy, breaking down the offense, breaking down the defense, you know, these coaches don't take a ton of time to prepare for that, so I'm pretty sure they'll be prepared for whatever it is that Casey gives and understand that he knows exactly what they want to do in a certain situation.
And here's the thing, even knowing what's about to happen, you still have to stop it. And that's something that has to be factored in. We know without a doubt that Denver is going to sell out to stop Derrick Henry in that rushing attack. And I think that really will open things up for the passing game. I mean, listen, I gave a fireball hot take earlier on Jared and the GM. I said that I believe the Titans will have 2 100-yard receivers. How do you think being so focused on Henry and the rushing attack, how do you think that could help the passing game?
Oh, it's a major asset. You know, I think we'll speak about later, you know, the matchup-wise. And this was one of the things that I think will be truly impactful, especially – a lot of times when you assess, you know, the teams that you're facing, you also have to assess who you are. And one thing we know about this Titans offense is, you know, we want to make sure that offense goes through the run game. We want to make sure that Derrick Henry gets his carries. We have a couple amazing running backs behind him that can impact our run game. But at the end of the day, how do you, you know, benefit off of having an amazing run game? And it's going to have to be having the splash players and playmakers in the back end with the receiving game. So I definitely think, you know, leading into these type of games and understanding that teams will try to stop us in the run first, we're going to have to be impactful in the back end with the passing game. And it gives an opportunity for a lot of guys, especially when you're facing such a physical team as Denver, it gives a lot of guys to opportunity to face one-on-one coverage, to face man-to-man, eight front boxes to try to stop our run, and it give an opportunity for a receiver to make big plays on the back end.
Yeah, and here's the thing with that play action. That's where it all has to start. The play action passing game, that's really going to be the key. And if you look at Ryan Tannehill, he had an awesome year last year, 70% completions, 9.6 yards per completion. That went up to 79% in play action. And up to around 15 or 16 yards per completion on play action. So that's going to give them an opportunity to really pick up where they left off in that perspective. And, hey, you mentioned play action. You gotta bring up Khalif Raymond and what he was able to do in that play action passing game last year.
Definitely impactful. I think one of the things that you always imagine off of the play action game is being able to take a shot down the field.
Yeah.
Those are the plays that you want to be able to get the ball up and down and get your 30, you know, plus yard passing game assets in the game. Khalif is going to be a huge playmaker for us in that area. I think he's going to have the speed to be able to get down the field. We've talked about this quite often. And also with, you know, the attention that AJ and Corey will get, with also Janu being definitely a reputable guy that teams are going to have to make sure that they game plan for. With having a guy like Khalif in your stable, man, it's going to be amazing. You know, it's going to be an opportunity for him there every game, I'm pretty sure, to make a splash in the play-action game and pretty much get a deep ball down the field.
And when you look at their linebackers, right, Josie Jewell is a very aggressive line. He was a tackling machine at Iowa. You know that he has one of those GPSs for the football. So I think this is an opportunity where you could use that against him. You could get him out of position by showing him a running type of attack, right? Showing him the running game and then working off of that. I think that same thing goes for the safeties and Kareem Jackson and Justin Simmons. If you go back and watch last year's game, those guys were very, very aggressive, especially Jackson, very aggressive in coming up and trying to fill the alley and keep Henry from being able to get downhill. So those are some things to look at, and that's how the play-action passing game could really help the Titans attack, and that's why I think they have two 100-yard receivers in that game. It would be the first time that that has been done by a tandem of Titans receivers since 2013. So it's been a while, but, hey, you know, streaks are meant to be broken, and I think Monday is when that streak will be broken.
Definitely. I think we have the opportunity there, like you said. I think these guys will come out this weekend focused on, you know, taking advantage of the way the other team is going to stop us and making plays off the play-action game. Definitely.
So we're going to go to a break, but don't you dare go anywhere, because we got Mr. Monday Night coming on next. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Woo-wee! That's right. If that doesn't get you excited, I don't know what does. It's the theme music for Monday Night Football, but it's also the theme music for our next guest. None other than Mr. Monday Night himself, Keith Bullock. Keith, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. How you fellas doing?
Doing really well. I appreciate you coming on. And I know you and Nate were teammates, so I got to just hand it off to Nate and let him go ahead and do his thing.
Hey, what's up, my guy? I sure appreciate you, as usual, doing this for us, Mr. Monday Night. First off, you know, I would love to give our listeners a clear key on how things have been going in retirement and your new business ventures in Franklin, Tennessee.
Yeah, man. You know, I've always been business-oriented. Even when I played, you know, it was important for me to exercise my mind in the off-season other than X's and O's. And, you know, I've done several things, but just recently I bought into a franchise, Just Love Coffee Cafe, which is a local Tennessee coffee. And actually, Chris Johnson, CJ2K, put me on to the brand, and I did my research. And, you know, I love what it stands for. It goes a portion of the proceeds that anything bought in these stores or from Just Love goes to adoption. And now, you know, what my cause was foster care when I played, I'm able to bring that component to Just Love and get back in the community, meet a lot of fans that I never met before, but have seen me play for 10 years and, you know, serve Big Drip daily.
Definitely. And I wanted to ask, it's ironic that you said something about your mentality and how you always approach things. You know, one of the things that we talk about leading into this season is the COVID situation. And ironically, you know, with your ability to play on big stages, Mr. Monday Night, you know, what would be your mentality leading up into this first game? You know, no preseason games, a long, you know, offseason with the COVID restrictions and trying to figure out what was going to happen with the league. What would be your mentality leading into this Monday Night game? Being a leader of the defense, making sure that all the guys understand their responsibilities on the defense, but making sure that you're impacting the game like you did in such a way.
Well, first things first, man, it would be my number one task would be, without any preseason games or anything like that, I would have to make sure that everybody is coming into practice on Wednesday knowing the game plan, knowing the rookies that they just got, knowing who was effective last year. You know, Drew Locke is coming off of a nice season. Denver actually put some good things together towards the end of last year. So as a leader and coming in, I got to be up on all that. And I'm sure with the COVID situation, you know, a lot of guys aren't in football shape yet. You know, you watched last night, you know, you saw some things. The tackling is going to get sloppy towards the end. And, you know, I don't care. You can be the best defensive player in the league. You're going to miss some tackles the first preseason game. So my mentality would be, look, it's the first game of the new season. I got my guys in check. Everybody's ready to go. But me personally, man, I got to make a play. You know, it was always important for me to make a play in one of those first four preseason games to kind of give me that reassurance that I already know that I'm still that dude that I was the year before. That was always important to me.
Now, Keith, you're very in tune with what's going on. You're a knowledgeable man yourself. So when you look at the current climate with the social injustice and you see how these players are, you know, making their statement, how do you respond to like what they did yesterday and what some of these guys may do going forward just to make a statement in regards to our current climate?
I mean, I think the biggest things that I took away from yesterday was teams, based upon how the players feel, they're going to make a decision whether they're on the field or off the field for the anthem. Obviously, they did something of, you know, as a symbol of unity, and we live in America. You're going to have some people feel one way and some people feel another. You heard the people that booed, but then I also heard the people that cheered at the end. So for me, you know, it is what it is. People are free to express what they want to express. So those same people that really aren't into the message or of the social injustice, I just feel that they might need to fall back a little bit because, you know, it's not for a terrible cause. I think they might need to fall back and educate themselves what the real reason behind, you know, these people trying to get the message out, being a bigger voice for the have-nots, meaning the people that don't have those platforms and those opportunities that are really suffering. We all know the millionaire football players, $100,000 football players aren't suffering, but there are millions and millions of voices around the world that aren't being heard, and if these guys are able to do it during this time, I feel like it should be respected.
Very well said. A little football question here. The altitude in Denver, it's something that the Titans, they're doing extra work after practice to get prepared for. Mike Vrabel spoke about how you can't, quote-unquote, shoot your load, you know, in the pregame process. If you look back on your time, you know, playing at that Mile High Stadium, do you remember at all, like, if that affected you or how you had to carry yourself throughout that game to be able to finish properly?
Nah, man, you know, he can't hold it back. I mean, it's one, Mike Vrabel did say something very true. In pregame, you kind of want to throttle yourself. But once the game starts, it is what it is. You know, all week that you're going into a higher altitude situation, whatever that means. It never really affected me, but obviously we've seen through the years where it has affected certain players from a real, you know, health standpoint. But for me personally, man, like, nah, I only remember one time going up there. Yeah, we got smoked, but that ain't have nothing to do with the altitude.
Well, way to keep it 100.
One of the things that I remember about my big brother Keith Bullock, man, is when I first got to Nashville, right, we were in practice one day, and I'll never forget, man. We were in practice, and I think it was an offensive lineman and defensive lineman had got into it on the field. It was a tussle, and I heard this real loud screech out of nowhere, like, ah! And then this real laugh, man. And this guy was back there cracking up. One of the things that I know for sure about you is your practice habits compared to your game habits, man. You had fun not only in practice but in the games, but obviously practice was a lot different from you towards the end of your career. What was it that clicked for you that started to say, okay, I know the game's ins and outs. Let me make sure that during the week I'm preparing myself differently now. What evolved your game throughout that time to make sure that your game was evolving that allowed you to have more fun with the game?
Well, I mean, I was fortunate to have, you know, good coaches, you know, coming into the league and in college. You know, my college coach, Paul Pasqualoni, always preached attention to detail. One of my first teammates, you know, that I watched film with that made me start watching film as a redshirt freshman was Donovan Darius. So I've always been on top of that, the X's and O's of the game. And then when I got to the league, you know, I got onto the Titans after they just came from, you know, losing the Super Bowl by a yard. So it was a really, really, you know, focused and veteran team. You know, now a vet in the NFL is 4 or 5 years, but, you know, Eddie Robinson was the senior spokesman, and he was in year 12. So, you know, with that being said, that just kind of helped enhance my mentality. And, you know, having coaches like Jim Schwartz, Greg Williams, you know, Gunther Cunningham and Dave McGinnis, you know, it just, when I got to that age, I had already done everything, you know, so I knew what I needed to see on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday in order to prepare myself. I just had to get the looks, but, you know, a lot of my work at that point in my career was done at home, watching film, chilling, you know what I mean? Yeah, that's where I was at with.
Definitely. All right, and another one real quick to follow up with that is, obviously you had an opportunity to play with Albert Haynesworth, one of the most dominant D linemen probably of our era at the time. And we know that we just got, you know, the Titans have just obtained Jadeveon Clowney. They have Jeffrey Simmons. We just obtained also Vic Beasley. With a lot of guys being able to impact the pass rush game, how does that affect you at your position, at linebacker, at the wheel position, whether it's the mic or the strong side linebacker? How did that affect those three positions in itself?
Well, I'll tell you, man, you know, my first couple, three, four years, I averaged like 150, 160 tackles. And those 2 years that Albert Haynesworth decided to take his football serious, my numbers was down to like 100. And I'm wondering, is my game falling off? But then when you watch the film, you see how much respect that Albert is getting, where you're getting double and triple teams, where it's freeing up Kyle Van Den Bosch. And, you know, so when it comes to the run game, there wasn't too much action out there. Big Al and the D-line was swarming that. But in the pass game, it made the ball come out so much faster. The quarterback has to make fast decisions. If not, it's going to be a sack. And a lot of times, when it does come out fast like that, it has to be one of those top-tier quarterbacks, you know, a Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, that knows where they're going with the ball pretty much on the snap. But once that quarterback starts, you know, pumping and, as they say, jacking the ball off, it's a wrap. So I think when you have a dominant D lineman like that, it makes it fun for the secondary to make more plays in the pass game as well as the linebackers.
And speaking of linebackers, the Titans have a pretty good one, an up-and-coming one in Rashawn Evans. And, you know, in watching him, he triggers really well. He feels, he gets those tackles for a loss. What are your thoughts on Rashawn Evans and what he's put on tape in the first couple of years he's played?
Yeah, that's a great way to end it. But now, Rashawn, that's my man. You know, we had an opportunity this summer to break bread, had lunch, chilled out, talked about some things. But, yeah, I feel like, personally, he's primed to be one of the top linebackers in the NFL. And, you know, one of the things you just said was him showing up on film the last couple of years, and that's one of the things I told him. Like, he's not a secret anymore. Everyone knows who number 54 is, where number 54 is going to be. So that's when that film study comes into play. You know, that extra half step to the left is the difference when you getting cut off by that guard or you making the play. So, you know, I think that he's ready to take his game to the next level. Mike Vrabel seems to be, you know, one of those coaches that has his guys ready to play from a mental standpoint. And it's going to be interesting to see how that defense plays under Mike Vrabel as the D coordinator.
Yeah, well, Keith, listen, I appreciate you coming on. I wanted to use that Monday Night Football music, but I was about to put some locks on because I know the LOX, you know, the Yonkers, you know what I mean?
But yeah, you know, yo. Why, yo?
That's right. We go ahead.
I was going to say, the Monday Night Fit, man, I appreciate you guys, you know, reaching out and getting me on. Nate, yeah. You sound great. You sound great, buddy.
Thanks, bro.
I always told you had a face for radio.
Thanks, bro.
Jokes. All right, man, appreciate you.
All right, y'all have a good one.
Keith Bullock, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, listen, he said it all right there. A lot to get into. We're going to go to a break, and then we'll be right back to wrap this thing up.
Because of the skin I'm in, the fact I have melanin automatically makes me a felon. Even though I'm righteous, rotten.
Yeah. J-Rue the Damager back from the break. Nate and TD, here we go. It's time to move on to the next part of the show where we're going to get into some of the key matchups on offense and defense. This is something that Nate and I are going to give you every Friday. Nate, I'll go ahead and kick it off because I think the matchup on offense that really is of high importance is Justin Simmons and Jonnu Smith. And my reasoning is a lot of times they like to stack the box. They like to drop Simmons down in the box so they have eight up there. But when they do that, they tend to go man defense. And that's going to match up Simmons on Jonnu Smith. Now, that's normally a matchup I think that could go either way. But when you factor in that play action and you get Simmons to take that false step, a guy like Jonnu Smith could take advantage of that. And I think that's what the Titans are going to need to do. And that's a key matchup, in my opinion.
Yes, I totally agree. I think, as you stated, I think the most thing that is going to be impactful with that matchup in itself is just the fact that Jeffrey Simmons is going to have to be accountable in the run game. And when he's accountable in the run game, he's aggressive in the run game, to be able to take advantage of that and work off of him with the play action, he's definitely going to be a step behind. He's definitely going to give Jonnu an opportunity to make some plays. And I think Jonnu has the ability. I think especially with the exit of Delaney, I think this is going to be Jonnu's year to show impact that he can be a top-tier tight end and impact the game for us tremendously. I think one of the major things about having a play-action style offense is majority of the reads are going to be in the interior of the field. Mm-hmm. And when you have a guy like Jonnu, a tight end like Jonnu that can work open, that can make plays in the middle of the field, it gives a lot of comfortability to your quarterback. Now your quarterback doesn't have to read all the way outside all the time. He can make the short, quick passes over the middle, and those can turn from 5-6 yard passes all the way to 13 to 17 yard plays. And I think that's definitely going to be impactful. I think Jonnu was ready to turn that leaf, and I'm excited about seeing him in action Monday night.
And when you have a guy like Jonnu who is so strong and so solid once he gets the ball in his hands, you get those free yards, right? A 5-yard pass turns into a 61-yard touchdown like it did in Houston a couple years ago when he hooked up across the middle and outran the rest of the defense. So that's a key thing. You get extra yards that way after the catch. What's your key matchup on offense for this game?
Well, as you stated, you know, just with the opportunity, looking at this team and looking at how teams are going to start, you know, wanting to stop us, I think, you know, while he's had splash impact, while he's been, you know, showing consistency of his growing potential, I think it's just AJ's time. You know, I think it's going to be a ton of opportunities there for him to be one-on-one, as we stated, on the outside. And I think this is the, you know, team where he can show that impact. We're not just talking about, you know, a 100-yard game, but we're talking an impact to say, you know, now is my time, now I've arrived, and this is my team to create in this passing game. And I think he'll have that opportunity here with this first game. His matchup going with A.J. Boye or, you know, A.J. Boye or Bryce Callahan is going to be one of key for us. I think they're both going to try to interchange. I've actually played with A.J. Boye in his short time in Houston in his younger years.
and he's a confident guy. Also, watching Callahan throughout his experience in the NFL, these are two confident guys. But I'm pretty sure, looking at and assessing the game for what it is, I believe in AJ's ability to go out and defeat one-on-ones. I believe in his speed and his size and his opportunity that he'll have. And I think he'll have a true impact. I think this is going to be the matchup that I'm obviously intrigued with the most throughout this game, and I'll do everything I can to keep my eye on it.
Interesting nugget. And talking to AJ over the summer when I did a post about he and DK Metcalf, he said that Jaguars game against A.J. Bouye and Jalen Ramsey, he said that was the worst game of his career. But he did also put in, he got his revenge later on, when he dropped 100 on the Jaguars without Ramsey. The next thing I want to look at is the defensive side of things. And, you know, my matchup there, yeah, I'm doing it already. Yes, sir, I am. My matchup there, I'm going to have Jadeveon Clowney as the key matchup there. And when I look at this, right, Juwan James opted out. So they have an undrafted free agent, you know, from 2017. He's there. He hasn't started games before. His name is Elijah Wilkinson. And, man, I personally would take Jadeveon Clowney and put him on that right side and just attack. As a matter of fact, I'm putting Simmons and Clowney on that right side, and I'm attacking with stunts and just doing all types of stuff to confuse this guy and create havoc for Drew Lock.
I think you're totally right. I think, you know, if I can go one step above, I would just eliminate the whole individual tag on it and just go front seven of the defense of our Titans defense versus the front five or six of the Denver offense. You know, we're looking at an opportunity to go fluster a young guy, a young quarterback. And if we can impact the game and get pressure on him early, it's going to affect him, you know, tremendously in the back end of the game. Also, when you look at it, how this team is structured, the Denver Broncos, you're also looking at one almost reciprocate of what we have. They want to go through the run game. So if we can impact the run game early with our front seven, stop the run with their new running back in Melvin Gordon, they have Phillip Lindsay and Royce Freeman. Those are guys that they want this offense to flow through, I'm pretty sure. They don't want to put that pressure on their young guy. But if we continue to impact the game and fill the gaps and are in the spots that they're supposed to be, I think this, once you shut that run that game down, it puts the pressure on the quarterback to make plays. And I don't think that Drew Lock's ready yet. You know, maybe this will get me in trouble a little later, but I'm confident in saying that I believe that we can stop, you know, the run game. If we can stop the run game, then it'll put the pressure on Drew Lock to make plays that I don't think he's ready for.
And that's the thing that's interesting, because you have Cortland Sutton, who is dealing with an AC joint injury. You know, he had to be helped off the field. And he was, I don't believe he practiced today at all, and he was limited the day before. So that's something to definitely take note of. And KJ Hamler, he's one of those sports cars, man. You fast guys, man. Not you personally, but a lot of those fast guys, like, they're like a sports car, man. They're running well, but you get one little hiccup and things go wrong. He has a hamstring he's dealing with. So that's something to factor. But the Broncos were 4-1 last year with Lock as the QB. So there's definitely a lot to be concerned about. I can't wait for the game. Before we get out of here, though, we have to go ahead and get this next segment, because, you know what, there are some things that make me go, hmm. So I'm going to let you know what makes me go, hmm, Nate. And you know, I don't get it. You got a team that was in the AFC Championship game, a team that has, you know, a marquee guy in Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. How do they only have one game on Monday Night Football? That really makes me go, hmm. And I hate to call out my own network, you know, my own employer, but daggone it, man. One Monday night game? What?
Yeah, you know, man, unfortunately, I think a lot of these things are just based off of, you know, media hype. You know, I think the Titans organization, while they have been advanced and while they have been getting better, you know, I think we're still just viewed as a blue-collar company. You know, nobody wants to go watch the blue-collar company. As great as the San Antonio Spurs were throughout their run, they weren't just a team that that fans were fighting to go see. And I don't think they believe that they got the respect on the back end until they started winning the championships. And I think this is kind of one of those situations, even with the great potential that we have, even with the way the Titans fan base has showed out, even, you know, dating back to when we had the draft in Nashville, you know, I was astounded at the energy and the atmosphere in Nashville, you know. So I think it's all there, you know, for it to be, you know, put on the front stage. But, you know, when you're dealing with major networks, man, as you stated, we love our home network. But, you know, they're going to go with the guys that they feel are more intriguing, you know, the games that they feel are more intriguing. And despite of if it's Monday night or not, you know, they'll see us in the back end of the season when we're on our way to the playoffs.
My guy Nate with the politics, man. I give it to you. And, yo, you mentioned the Spurs, man. You go to the YMCA and watch that. You know what I'm saying?
That's you know?
Dang, man. Hey, listen, this hour went too fast, but we had too much fun. But you know what happens. The time flies when you are having fun. Nate, on the way out, you got a prediction?
Oh, yeah. I got Titans 17, Denver 7. That's where I'm going.
Ooh, low-scoring game. I'm going 27-14. Titans. Yes, sir. That's the show. We'll be back next week. Be sure to stay around because another hour of talking with TD is next. We'll talk to you next week.